a spin away from the checking of Anderson. Centers, scores! Michael Bunting has the first goal of the season.
Muzzin blocks another shot, but gives the puck away. In front for Anderson. He scores! Jake Muzzin toss the puck up. And Josh Anderson restores the Montreal lead with 17.9 seconds left. Backhanded towards an empty net, stopped by Marner with just 2 seconds left in the game. And the Montreal Canadiens will win the opener against Toronto by the score of 4-3.
Well, it was early season sloppiness, but I don't expect that. I mean, for everything our team has been through together, that's unacceptable. We got to be way more responsible.
It's Maple Leafs hockey. We're back. Woo! The roller coaster has begun. Justin and Ailish from the Fan Morning Show. Coming off a tough one last night. Tough way to start your season with a stinker like that.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I take back some of my enthusiasm.
Yeah, me too.
It's
only one game, but that's...
Yeah, you got to remember...
Less than ideal.
Start of last year was really bad. I hope we're not trending toward that right now, because it's not easy to always overcome holes that you dig yourself into. But that was actually... If you want to... Hey, maybe we'll glass half full right off the bat here. If you want to learn from something early on, that's a game you should learn from, because it was mistake riddled. It was sloppy. Mm-hmm. It was, as Sheldon Keefe said, careless at times. And I totally agree. It was overall a really bad and less than inspiring performance. There might be a couple players you could handpick and say, hey, they had good games. But other than that, across the board, pretty bad.
A real rough way to start your season against a team that has zero expectations to be good, who looked way more a pep in their step, at least. They don't have the talent. They don't have the depth. If you asked me to name more than Caulfield and Suzuki and Slafkowski, those are the guys. And somehow they still beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are supposed to have one of the best bottom sixes in the league, the nicest fourth line to ever be iced at Justin Cuthbert. There just was a lot of failed opportunities that were missed. There was a lot of, what's the proper way to put this? Laziness.
Yeah, I think that's a fair word, honestly. We already saw Sheldon Keefe sit a top line player, Michael Bunting, albeit briefly. Mm-hmm. While in turn, you see everyone playing hard for Martin Saint-Louis.
That's right.
And that made up the talent divide. It's really simple. If you have one team that's coasting and the other team that's playing very, very hard in front of a very, very rambunctious. It's Montreal. It's a high floor. Mm-hmm. So they exceeded that high floor. But playing very, very hard. And the other team not. And that seemed like it was the difference, but I don't know. I don't know why the Leafs looked like sloppiness, that stuff happens early season, maybe not in the groove yet, although the preseason lasted forever. So why aren't we feeling good about ourselves, at least from a performance standpoint? But they look slow. Like Montreal made them look slow. And across the board, that was an issue. That wasn't like a fourth line issue. That wasn't a top line issue. That wasn't a Tavares Nylander issue. Montreal just outskated them. And that seems like something that can be fixed, because this Toronto team is supposed to have team speed, but last night they looked like they were stuck in the mud.
It could be the classic case of playing down to your opponent, walking in thinking that...
Which is something they do.
Which is exactly something from last season. A major red flag to come out and think that you don't need to put in your full effort against a team, as I said, that has no expectations to be good. In their home opener, with a lot of energy in their building, it just simply looked like they thought that they would win that game without their full effort. And maybe they're looking ahead to tonight, home opener against Washington Capitals, a much better matchup. But nothing is given to your team because of last year's season. Nothing is handed to you because you won the Hart Trophy. Nothing is handed to you because your team had the best season of all time, regular season last year. But I thought it was really promising, or something to chew on, was how Sheldon Keefe responded postgame.
Yeah, I think that's the story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story of the game is that's a bad loss, but how are you handling that bad loss? Well, Sheldon Keefe is handling it the way he should, which is on the offensive himself, as we missed out on that from most of the team, but going after his guys, calling them out for a careless, lazy, poor performance.
He definitely had the opportunity to say, it's early. You know,
he could have brushed it off.
Yeah. It's the first game of the season. You know, we still have bumps and bruises to figure out. We have matchups to work on, you know, chemistry. But he came out and said, this is unacceptable. We deserve to lose the game. And he's holding people accountable. And it got me thinking, like, a lot of us think, and we talked about this in the text line, I think it was yesterday morning, how are you feeling about Maple Leafs hockey? And everyone said, well, nothing in the regular season matters right now. It's about the playoffs. And maybe he's starting to put us and that team in their place and say, the regular season does matter. You can't just coast in. This is the magnitude of losing a game isn't something you can brush off because everything matters in the playoffs. You A, have to get there, but B, habits are created in regular season. And I thought that positive enough that he came out and he laid into them and he felt comfortable benching someone on the first game. Like,
who scored the opening goal?
Michael Bunting. Exactly.
I couldn't imagine, though. Like, it's early, so I don't think we should go too far down the road. But I could not imagine that these players, after running into Boston, and then Tampa, bubble in between, that you would, well, I guess Montreal in between as well, that you would feel at all complacent, that you would take anything for granted. There should be some realization that all 82 of these games matter like hell, and that you should be playing as hard as possible in an effort to avoid what happens in April from happening in April. Like, at some, going into media day, that was our big thing. Like, what sort of urgency are they going to place on what's ahead? And we thought we saw a little bit of urgency on what was ahead, winning a division, putting yourself in the best position. But that felt like a sleepwalking, is it April yet performance on night one. And good on Sheldon Keefe. That's the most positive thing from the game, that Sheldon Keefe came out and called out not individual players, but the entire team, because it was, frankly, a team letdown more than an individual letdown.
Letdown that I think both teams found ways to capitalize on mistakes. Like, that was part of the game story as well. A mistake was made that looked beer leaguey at times. Like, you used that word when we were talking before the show. Messy, sloppy, and that was the result of the game. That was the reason that they lost. You saw Jake Muzzin cough up the puck with 19 seconds left in the game.
I want to say 29, but very late.
Same thing.
Yeah.
A mental mistake that just can't happen from a veteran player throwing the puck on the stick of the Montreal Canadiens in front of your net, looking like a lost lamb.
Seemingly lacking confidence. Like, just get this puck away from me. That's what it felt like. And when you're
like
in just get this puck away. Yeah, when you're in grenade mode, that's when you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You have to have a confident moment with the puck in those situations. If you're going to handle the puck in that area, you need to do so with confidence. And I think the beer league analogy is that it's like, you know, when you're watching someone who's, you maybe don't have all the utmost confidence in, and they have the puck for maybe longer than you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, are they going to make the play here? Are they going to be able to? Okay, they got it off the boards. Thank you. Like, a little relief every time. I mean, that's what it feels like with Justin Hall all game. That's what it started to feel like more and more in that game with Jake Muzzin. And guess what? Those two guys make up your second pairing. So if there's one, like, real tangible thing to worry about, one thing moving forward that is a concern based on what we saw, I'm not concerned about Nick Obey-Kubel not playing with speed, because he played with speed the entire year with the Colorado Avalanche. Like, I expect him to find that. I expect to find a little more urgency from Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner. I expect Morgan Riley to clean things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Justin Hall and Jake Muzzin can clean things up. They look shaky. They have looked shaky before. They are immensely important to your team, and they are a major reason why you look slow. The bottom four defensemen looked slow last night. Mm-hmm. And as much as you want to talk about playing with speed in those forward groups and how great they may be, you get run over in the playoffs if your defensemen can't skate. And they looked like, if anything, in terms of like long-term impact stood out, it was that their defensemen looked slow.
Against a lowly opponent.
A lowly opponent, but a speedy opponent.
I will say, I was impressed with
every team has speed,
the young guys on Montreal, and I think it has to do with the looseness that they have no expectations. Cole Caulfield looked great. Suzuki looked good. Like, they're just speedy and almost like they don't really care too much about the pressure because
there is none.
There is none. And on the other side, the Leafs looked tight in the defensive zone. There's so many pinches that were like, what are we? Very questionable. The return to the defensive zone at times lackluster. Just simple mistakes that need to be cleaned up. And you can't, like, Washington Capitals are a much better team. Can't do that tonight. Sure, you have Ottawa and you have Arizona coming up, but you can't play down to your opponents because Josh Anderson can always win the game. Yep. Cole Caulfield can score two really nice goals. Okay, so you said that second pairing is certainly a concern. How about Matt Murray? Is that a concern?
One last thing to your point on capitalizing mm-hmm. mistakes, just to tie a bow mm-hmm. on it. If it is a competition in capitalizing on your mistakes, you can lose a game against Cole Caulfield and
Nick Suzuki.
Like, you can't put yourself in the position where it's, hey, there's going to be 10 scoring opportunities in the game. We're going to get five. They're going to get five. Hopefully we win. You have to control the game if you're the dominant team, and they failed to do that. Matt Murray, I think giving up four goals and a loss, hard to spin it as a positive. I do think he looked really good in the first period. I think he was given not much opportunity to limit the damage too much. It is hard to... It's like, are you going to make the miraculous save and be the story of the game? Are you going to be the reason why they won? You know, he couldn't quite do that. But he was the reason why they lost? I don't think so either.
His first period was very promising.
He looked really good in the first period. Tracking the puck
Everybody was
looking big.
Fired up about Matt Murray in the first period.
Yeah. And then Caulfield beats him clean, which I don't have that much
really
of an
nice
issue
shot.
With. It happens. But it was one of four goals that went over his glove.
Okay. So the over the glove situation. There's nowhere else you're shooting Matt Murray. You come down the ice, you better be aiming high glove because that's like he doesn't raise it higher than his shoulder.
Yeah, if there's already a book.
That's tough.
If there's already a deficiency, it's a bit problematic. But is it part of his game? Like, is that something he can overcome? You mentioned, can it go over his shoulder? I mean, I hope so. I hope the guy doesn't.
I
hope the guy
doesn't have
that issue.
This was a weakness coming. Like, did we know the scouting report that you guys shoot high glove on Matt Murray? All we thought about was he's looking for a bounce back season, and you know he didn't have the greatest, but he's been
that, that wasn't the primary concern,
right?
The primary concern was health, headspace,
bounce back year.
Can he do that? Is his body capable of doing that? Now I guess we got to worry about that one perceived weakness.
Slightly
early
alarming.
As well. Yeah. Early as well. The Monahan and forgetting who scored the third goal. Either way. Monahan did get the third goal. Josh Anderson scored the winner. Mm-hmm. Those ones, I mean, I feel like he just flat out guessed on the Anderson goal. Didn't have much of a chance on the Monahan goal. Probably didn't have much of a chance on the Caulfield first goal. But I guess he could have saved that second one. Still, if he starts getting beaten clean on shots that aren't like,
no traffic.
Where he's sliding from post to post, no traffic. Cole Caulfield right on him. Then we're going to start really worrying, but early trend. Four goals on the glove side.
Keefe had a lot of good post-game clips. We can't play the whole thing, but you heard off the top about him calling out some players. He also talked about the team leaving Murray hanging at times.
I thought our guys hung him out to dry. It's one of the most dangerous teams in the NHL on the rush. You know, ever since their coaching change last year, they established themselves as one of the most dangerous teams on the rush. I said, I expect more. Our group should expect more. Not good enough. So you deserve to lose.
Yeah. Facts.
I think he nailed it. I mean, I think he nailed it during his whole presser. Mm-hmm. It was short. It was abrupt. It was biting, pointed, all those things. And we'll see how they respond. Again, Washington coming off a tough loss themselves coming in. Ilya Samsonov in net. Things to rectify, things to take into account after that performance. And, of course, listening to the head coach, who I'm sure was a little bit more comfortable away from the media.
Home opener tonight, there'll be an incredible amount of energy in that building, I expect.
And an incredible amount of pressure all of a sudden. And it's okay.
That's right. This is what it's about. If you're an elite team and you have the aspirations that you do, you got to be able to perform under pressure. You already have pressure in game two. Samsonov is about to play his former team. Your stars didn't really look like your stars last night. You lost to the Montreal Canadiens in a really tough fashion. Mm-hmm. Tonight is huge. You're about to play four games in six nights. First of all, that sucks, but you're going back-to-back. Washington also has a back-to-back. So
I think you
no
like it now, though. I think you want to play tonight.
Oh, yeah. You're not waiting till Saturday at this point. You got to come back with a little bit of energy and fierceness. Then you got Senators on Saturday, and you got the Coyotes on Monday. So you can go 3-for-4. And this opening game is a learning lesson, as you said.
You could also go 0-2 here. Mm-hmm. And have, you know, speaking of books being out, I think Washington might know how to score in
Arizona. So they might know him well.
Let's say it's 0-for-2, both goaltenders don't have great starts. Then you're going into Saturday night and you're really feeling the pressure. You're in the exact same scenario as you were last year, right away. So heightened importance on this game. Fortunately, Washington looked a lot like the Leafs. They didn't look very good last night.
So our guest today... who do we got? John Morosi, Craig Simpson, Kyle
Bukauskas. Who was in Montreal last
night. Who's there. He knows. He's
seen
it.
Was as well.
Maybe some of the other game stories that we can bounce around. Maybe at least we're lulled to sleep with that pregame ceremony.
Yeah, go off on the ceremony.
I know that there's going to be a lot of pregame tonight. I know there was a lot of pregame yesterday.
Not as much, though.
Okay. I just got to say, that was the slowest thing I've ever watched in my life. It was painful. It was painful to watch. It was just much too slow. The legacy of the torch thing, that's great. Montreal has storied history with that. But every single player did not need a minute to walk around the corner and slowly strut out like the Vogue Paris Week fashion runway.
Yeah.
So slow. The crowd was not into it. It was painful. Just come
out.
Are
you sure the crowd wasn't into it?
The crowd was into Carey Price. That was the best part of the whole thing, was seeing Carey Price get the standing ovation. But every single player, like...
The scratches getting about, like, 90 seconds each is a bit much.
Come on. Like, just put a little pep in your step. Get out there and skate on the ice.
I will say, though, there was intrigue I wasn't expecting from that... opening... introduction,
hear somebody's name for the first time you didn't know play
I
hockey?
I didn't know if you were going to see Carey Price.
Okay, we saw him early, and then we had to watch all 20,000 of these Montreal Canadiens players turn the corner.
I kind of picked up on the speed at which they were going and started making some dinner after Carey Price. But I was interested in that moment. I was like, are we going to see Carey Price? Is the house going to come down when this guy walks out in his cowboy hat? And it did.
That was wonderful, so, Justin. The rest, not so wonderful.
I agree. The torch thing is the torch thing. This is what they do. I'm sure they love it. And it's a moment for Suzuki because he's the one literally
get on him
accepting the torch.
Passing of the torch, the youngest captain in Montreal Canadiens history. Just a little faster tonight, Leafs. If we're learning one thing about tonight.
I am sure the Leafs are going to be a little quicker.
Let's go. Run of show is 30 seconds maximum for these players. Come out, get on the blue line. Let's get this game going. We also saw the debut of the digital ads on the boards.
we didn't see a complete malfunction with the Leafs and Habs. But did you see what happened to the Oilers?
Yes, I did. So Leafs and Habs was actually, I kind of forgot about it until one time I saw it change live. And I, oh, yeah, these are digital ads.
I don't think I would have noticed if it weren't for people talking about it. Like, it was very subtle to me. And then I was like, oh, was yeah, fine. I guess I see it.
It didn't bug me at all, except the one that, if you look on Twitter this morning, between the Oilers and Canucks, it's like three glitching
players.
Out.
Yeah, three players, like, are lost in the boards.
Yeah. Anyway. So digital ads are new. Great. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I kind of lied a little bit there. Like, I noticed once when it was, okay, the wide shot, and then they panned on someone behind, standing behind the bench.
Different.
And it was like, oh, that's different. And then you notice it, and then it's like, okay, I don't notice anything.
One thing, I sat there for a minute thinking, like, how are they doing? Like, how do they do that?
I don't know.
The tech behind it is interesting. I don't know.
The what they do for Raptors in the NBA is better, though. Like, it's always perfect.
Right. Like just, I mean, they got a little bit of kinks to work out, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's tough. It's like something that wraps around. There's players moving at high speed. Or like, it's got to be pretty sophisticated for it to work.
Anyway, I guess it worked well enough. It didn't bug me.
No,
the Montreal Canadiens having a logo on their sweater, didn't even think about it. All the things
milk
didn't bother me. A lot of things that we nitpicked or fans nitpicked about the changes this year.
Canadiens one's worse because it's blue on them. I mean, there's blue on their jersey, but it stands out more.
How did the sponsor of the arena not get on the jersey?
For?
The Canadiens.
Well, we don't speak of them.
Just saying.
I don't get, I don't understand how the dairy farmers got it. Like, I don't understand how that's even possible that they have a big enough bag to accomplish that. But you would think, you know, Scotiabank mm-hmm. would get something. But we're TikTok and milk.
TikTok and milk. Okay, other side game story notes that you have from last night.
I mentioned Muzzin Hall. Mm-hmm. The other problem on defense, maybe not a problem, but it's something to watch. That, you know, all this talk about Mitch Marner being a defenseman at times. I think we should be talking about Morgan Rielly being a forward.
Like he wants to be.
In terms of individual skills, what's most important? Matt Murray tracking the puck, Austin Matthews scoring goals. And then third might be TJ Brody being able to break up odd man rushes. Because with the amount Morgan Rielly was playing in the offensive zone and activated and pressing and joining the rush and joining the cycle, I mean, TJ Brody is going to have to be a wizard back there. And he was a wizard at times, but that's not necessarily a skill you want to showcase, your ability to break up odd man rushes. Because guess what? You can't do it every time. You can't handle a two-on-one every single time. And Brody was in the position where he was needing to back up and scramble multiple times in this game. And guess what? Montreal scored in transition a bunch in this game. So it's something they're going to have to watch. But early on, the only thing that caused goals, the only thing that prompted goal scoring was Rielly moving up. And it did work. The only reason Bunting scored the Leafs' opening goal is because Rielly crashed down. Matthews was buzzing around on the slot as well. And then Bunting was on the other side, and Mitch Marner had three choices, three guys that the defense had to pick up. And he found the one that wasn't picked up, Michael Bunting, for the goal. So there's reason why you're going to do it, why you're going to activate Morgan Rielly. And this is a new thing. He's done this a lot before, but it seemed like a noticeable uptick where it's just like Rielly has license to enter and explore the offensive zone at his choosing. And the Leafs were caught out a bunch of times because of it. And Brody can handle it, but I don't know if anyone else can handle it because that's the state of the Leafs' defense corps. And Riley's got to probably pick his spots a little better.
Odd man rushes, the uptick was there. It's going to be important to not allow good teams to have many,
and as you
many
mentioned,
odd
man
rushes.
That's when Montreal can get you.
Exactly. And Sheldon Keefe said in his post game, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the rush. How about Willie and JT? That was a big storyline going into yesterday. What's their chemistry going to look like?
Two goals from them. So that was positive. Dennis Malgin getting on the board early. Malgin started and finished that play. So I'm going to give a lot of credit to Malgin.
We got to get to the Malgin hive here in a minute.
Well, we got to be able to bet on Dennis Malgin. Sportsbooks, Unibet, anywhere else.
You called it yesterday. You said, give me the Malgin props.
I should have put in. I said, I'm going to have to call them up. I didn't do it. And Dennis Malgin scores and no one profits off it. Speaking of lack of profiting, that wasn't exactly our strongest showing ourselves. But, you know, that was a huge moment to tie the game. It actually didn't end up meaning anything. I mean, I think the same issue. I think our concerns about Tavares coming in, you know, jumping on a moving train. Yeah, I feel like that was there a little bit. Like
everybody looked kind of like that.
But everybody was like that. Nylander was sluggish. It was, literally every winger felt and looked sluggish, didn't have their A game, weren't moving at a speed that you'd wish they would be moving at. But they did score twice, which is hard to nitpick. And this is the start after a prolonged absence for Tavares in the preseason. So something to watch, certainly. It's something to watch all season long. Is it something that stands out as like a major issue from last night?
No, not to me either. Malgin, he looked good.
Yeah. I mean, he had the game on his stick in a certain extent when he hit the post on the breakaway or the side of the net on the breakaway. So that's good. If you're creating opportunity, you're allowing Nylander and Tavares to look okay. They also played a lot against Slavkovsky. They have they're going to have a beneficial matchup every night. So it's on them to take advantage of it. So it's no surprise that he might look good and that line might work. But is he like that far advanced from, say, Alex Galchenyuk a couple years ago, where it's like, yeah, this works, but it's not what it could be. I'm not going to, Dennis Malgin may not have a errant cross ice pass in his future that costs the Leafs dearly. But is he going to be a dominant NHLer? Is he going to be above a replacement level NHLer? I don't think we can say that yet.
Is there somebody you feel less confident taking a penalty shot than Alex Kerfoot?
No, he's low on the list. I mean, maybe like I'd take Pierre Engvall to just stride in and pound a shot in. Like just rip one. That's his like he can shoot the puck. He's not necessarily going to be moving the goaltender side to side out of his net and scoring a beautiful goal. But in terms of like when Kerfoot drew that, I was like, do you want the power play?
So say, well, when it happened, I'm like, oh, we're going to see a penalty shot in the in the season opener. And then they zoom in on who it is.
It just feels like the guy who is a little uncomfortable taking a penalty shot. And I've seen that guy before because I was that guy. Like when you play that role, it's like, why can't Austin take this?
Well, it's funny. Drew from Mississauga just texted in. Can you change the person taking the penalty shot like they do in soccer? Because Kerfoot had 0% chance.
Only if there's an injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in minor
or
hockey, actually,
like,
you
isn't no, there you when the puck you when you put your puck on your hand on the puck in the crease and there's a penalty shot, it can be anyone on the ice.
If it's given because of something the opposition did themselves, but if you draw a penalty on that person, I think it has to be that guy.
We also saw,
I mean, it's a small rule that you could do to,
that could be an interesting change.
You know, help goal scoring in the NHL. And anyone draws it, you can just throw your best player. Like if you want to highlight and underscore superstars, that's, you know, give them a free pass at the net. That might be a way to boost scoring.
Then there's some
touch.
There's some strategy involved in it. Who are you putting out there? It's on the coaches. We got to see a offside review.
No, they didn't call it, right?
Well, so that was interesting to me.
Well, I thought that was great coaching from Saint-Louis.
Well, because you don't want to go.
Take the time out. Let's look at this. Mm-hmm. Because it shouldn't be like, oh, we look at 30 replays before we have to make the call. Like, there should be a shot clock or whatever. Puck drop clock. 30 seconds.
I was getting a bit frustrated at first because I was like, how much time are they taking?
Yeah.
Like, this is unacceptable.
And you shouldn't have that time.
No.
And I hate that with baseball, too.
Mm.
Like, why does John Schneider get to turn around, look at the video, and then make the call? It should be instantaneous. Like, literally, I think with baseball in particular, it should only be egregious. And if it's just like Andres Galarraga, where it's just like, dude, of course he was out. That's what it should be in baseball. And I think that should be what is in hockey, too. Like, you got to make that split-second decision. But more often than not, we see, like, 30 iPads out in every angle right away. And it's like, that's not really the spirit of it. But calling the timeout, giving yourself extra time because it was that close, and then making the right call in the end, because I don't think they would have overturned that.
It was
pretty
like
good coaching from Marty Saint-Louis. He handled that really well.
Then there's the lengthy review on the in the crease, Murray swimming save.
Think that was in your gut?
Kind of looked like it was in.
I think it was probably in, but they couldn't call it.
That's when the camber angles are great.
Yeah, that's when a big body goaltender.
That's when he, yeah, that guy, what, seven, looked like he was 8 feet tall, swimming around in the net, couldn't find the puck. That one, to me, felt a little like a saved moment. Didn't pay off in the end, but we got a lot of texts in here, 590, 590. Hey, how's everybody feeling this morning?
Let me ask you, just because you mentioned Muzzin specifically in our game notes here. I was worried about Hall early.
Like, how come they're playing together?
Okay, go on that.
Well, I think that's an extreme week. I would not be surprised if they're the third pairing down the road. Maybe they should be.
I mean, if it doesn't work, it feels like there's still a defenseman short.
Well,
like, you watched Mark Giordano last night, and like, I'm very, you're very confident in him in sheltered minutes. Although him and Sandy
started second power play minutes,
they didn't look great last night. Yeah,
over Sandin,
which is a little surprising to me,
right?
Because Sandin at one point was being chosen over Morgan Riley,
right?
So, well, maybe that's a little punishment for Rasmus. Either way,
punishment.
You know, either way, like, we might feel that they're a top six forward short guy to play with Tavares and Nylander. Could be Malgin, maybe it's not. Kind of feel like there's still a top four defenseman short, too.
Yeah, I don't think it's kind of.
And we've always felt that way, right? If Muzzin can't be a stud, a guy who lifts someone else, needs lifting himself, a little bit of trouble. And those guys both looked like they needed a helping hand.
We have some texts about last night's vibes. Brendan and Barry. Sure, it's only one game, but we really needed a win after that Blue Jays loss. It's a common feeling today in the text line.
Yeah.
Wanted to get this season started on a good note. Wanted to flip the script from the Blue Jays. Fortunately, they were unable to do that. Matt, the garbage man, texted in. Was I the only person bugged out by the guy in the fluorescent jacket behind the net? Kept thinking that the game was over.
I'm surprised an ad didn't show up on him.
Typical Leafs, you would think that they would be sick of this and show it, but it's the same thing over and over again. I don't think they have any pride. There's no hope for this team. Okay. it's a bit much for game one, but.
I just think that they can't allow themselves to write the same story of last year where it's like, remember, like,
but look
four
at
games
how
in,
last
you're like,
year turned around.
So Sheldon, yeah, maybe but can you think, do that? You can't rely on that every
but
year.
I'm just saying, maybe there's a complacency because they did start on the wrong foot and they figured it out. And like, that's a terrible mentality to have going into it, but they still found a way. They're very talented and they had the most regular season points of all time. And they had the Hart Trophy winner and they figured it out. So, but that should not be the mentality you bring into this season, but it felt like it last night.
Just how many times can you go to the well? And especially if you're Sheldon Keefe, like, how many times can you spur on that turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, not that it's really important to him. Like, I feel, you know, we're gauging hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how hot that seat is. I don't think it's hot at all, to be honest. I think he has more rope than, say, Kyle Dubas. But you don't want those questions to come up again. You don't want the, you know, are they playing for him thing to come. Like, that was a legit storyline at the beginning of last year when they looked completely lost early. And they were so fragile, or at least it seemed, that one victory, overtime, Chicago, turns everything around. Like, it shouldn't be that. We should have a little bit more knowledge about who we are, what we are as a team, that it shouldn't come down to, we are so desperate for a win against a bad team that that's going to launch us into the right way of playing. It feels like that's not going to happen again. They got to figure it out sooner than later, or they're going to just be battling for second or third again, and putting themselves in the same position as they do every year.
Rob texted in, I played puck with Justin. He's not lying. Penalty shots were not for him.
Yeah. they were not.
You know what I thought was interesting is as soon as the Leafs game ended, the Oilers game came on. And one shot into the game, Jack Campbell added a goal. And I thought, oh, okay. Because
that
just
made you feel better.
Well, we just watched Matt Murray get four goals scored against him, and that was one of the big conversation points post game. I flipped the switch over to an ex Sportsnet game on Wednesday Night Hockey, and one shot into the game, the Canucks are ahead on the Oilers, and I thought, oh, okay, Does it make you feel a little better, maybe?
It's not just an us problem. Goal scoring up early. Difference is that the Oilers figured things out very quickly. McDavid scored a hat trick and they won that game.
McDavid scoring a hat trick. That's what you need from your stars. You find a way to turn the game around. Wouldn't that have been nice?
Maybe it works out like last year where there's a little lead from an Oiler. Last year, Draisaitl, this year, McDavid, maybe. Then you can look at Matthews after the first month as a potential Rocket winner and make some money.
John from EG. I don't believe this will be the case, but can you imagine the season goes sideways in the first couple months? Do you think they would have a new coach by the All-Star break?
I mean, I think everything's on the table.
I think they think everything's on the table, and they've made that quite clear in the media day pregame mentality, preseason, I mean.
I also wonder if it's like, okay, Kyle, you had your offseason. We let you have full autonomy. We let you construct
mm-hmm.
a team. Now we're just going to see how it does. And I don't know if he has that bullet. He's already used that bullet. He's already got rid of the, what, $50 million coach mm-hmm. who's still getting paid a ton of money every year. He's made that move. He brought in his guy. Does he have that bullet still? Again, this is way too early, though.
Of course.
I think this is on the team, and I think Sheldon acted appropriately. There's really nothing on my end to nitpick from Sheldon Keefe. Did he have this team ready? I guess you can say no, but like, he can't like program these players. Mm-hmm. They played poorly, and that's on them.
The penalty shot rule changed in minor hockey this year. Now any player can take a shot. There you go.
Where was that when I was playing?
I can see the anxiety in your eyes right now thinking about it. Great show. A win would have been nice, especially against these Habs, but that effort was really disappointing. Did you hear Sid from previously Tim and Sid on CP24? He wants a major change to happen on the Jays. You think the Leafs might need to see the same if there's another slow start? We'll carry into their playoffs. Roger from 905.
We played that Sid clip, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It was spicy.
Oh, we're not there yet.
I'm taking the pulse of the fans.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, the emotion carrying over from the weekend. I get all that. Same thing happening again with the Leafs to start the season. I get all that. We got a game tonight, though. I think we might be talking a little bit differently tomorrow.
Okay, two more before we take a break. Tim from Alliston. Why do the Leafs value Justin Hall? Getting burned on a pinch late in the game has to be one thing that you protect against. That was deja vu from last year's playoffs. Get him out of there.
Can't answer that question. It confuses me as much mm-hmm. as anyone. Early on, like, endlessly uncomfortable, this guy. Right away, he looks like he doesn't want the puck on his stick. I don't know how you can continue to trust in someone who doesn't want the puck on their stick at all. And again, there were teams... Connor Bedard's sweepstakes are underway. There were teams that are willing to take on salary. Justin Hall's $2 million wouldn't have been all that difficult to move. But like the core, but like other players on this team, Kyle Dubas seems to trust in Justin Hall, one of his guys. Is that the blind spot for this general manager? Perhaps. And Justin Hall continues to get minutes, big minutes, important minutes, despite many examples of him not necessarily being right for a middle pairing role.
Last one. Our players need to play every game, every night, like McDavid comes in and owns the game. Our top guys don't do that.
I think that's a fair criticism.
New opportunity to do that tonight. Home opener against the Washington Capitals. You got your goaltender facing his old team. You have the opportunity to erase something 24 hours before. You don't have to wait. That feeling that you had post-game, a lot of players were frustrated.
Both teams on the second half of a back-to-back, so you're not immediately disadvantaged.
It can be a really great Friday morning for us, or sound the alarms.
Or all of a sudden, Monday has potential to be a rough disaster.
We're going to have Kyle Bukauskas on. We're going to have John Morosi. Let's wrap up the Jays. We got to do it. Talk about his thoughts on Atkins's comments, Stripling's free agency, what they're going to do this postseason before we probably don't talk a little bit of Blue Jays for a while. And then Craig Simpson, who was there? What were the vibes? But next on the A-list, The Battle of Alberta is already kicking up off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll explain why. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Naylor, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I guess the Colorado Avalanche did officially reignite the futures and the careers of Blink, eh? Like, last night was when they celebrated the cup. They had the squad there.
Mm-hmm.
I think single-handedly they brought them back.
And leaning in hard. Like, was a Mark Hoppus interview, TNT. Like, it's the catalyst.
It's huge. I heard that song more times yesterday than I did during the cup run. It was on every montage, like in and out of commercial. Yeah. Like you heard it all, even in the Leafs game. It was like going into break, Carolyn Cameron and the squad on the panel head to commercial. It was like, oh,
we're going to see like that world tour just promoted all year long.
And,
hockey
and
circles.
You want to tell me that he doesn't wear, that the band doesn't wear Avs jerseys in every rival? Like they're going to wear an Avs jersey when they come. Play in Toronto, or do you think they'll lean into Leafs jersey?
They'll lean into.
Are they? You think they're the big that face
band,
of the NHL?
I feel like they're not that band. Like, doesn't like Post Malone wear a jersey
That's
everywhere?
True.
That's such a it's a time honored tactic. I don't know how necessary it is. If you're paying, concerts are expensive nowadays. If you're paying the amount of money it costs to see someone live, to see a big star live,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be that much more excited because they're wearing the jersey of a local team? Or is it just the cop-out? Is it like, man, playing 50 shows, do I have 50 outfits?
I just looked and they play in Tampa on my birthday. So they'll definitely wear an Avs jersey to that game. Or to that.
Wearing an Avs jersey in Tampa?
Wouldn't that be funny?
I don't think they're doing that.
Oh, you think that'd be riots? I think it's
not
cheeky.
Not riots, but it's
I
just
think it's
like...
cheeky. They could.
Maybe Blink has enough little, like, they can poke and prod. They have enough cachet built up where they can get away with something like that. They're trolls. They were trolls before trolls existed.
Certainly something to chew on.
Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
Almost. All right, this is the A-List.
Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Inflation affects us all. But the Oilers just went too far here.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
So, a photo of the concession stand prices at the Oilers game. You've looked at this, right? Do you have it memorized? Because I'm going to quiz you.
I know how much the two cheeseburgers cost.
Okay. So, combo number 4, 2 popcorns and 2 fountain pops. Very simple, easy, cheap. Like, 2 fountain pops come in that little... dinky, plastic, biodegradable-ish thing with the wax coating and 2 buckets of popcorn.
Manufacture cost? Under a dollar?
Under a dollar.
Some sugar, water.
Butter, corn. That's it. Ice, which is free.
Honestly, under a dollar.
They're selling that combo. For $36.50. I thought when you went to the movies here in Toronto that they gouged you. This is worse.
There is... I wouldn't even be able to focus on the game knowing that I spent $36 on popcorn and not even real pop. Not even like what you get out of the can.
It's not. It's from a fountain.
It is a mixture of water and some like solution that creates cola. I would be so mad. I wouldn't do it, but it would bother me so much that I wouldn't be able to handle it.
So there's the 6 combos. That one's outrageous. This one, though, 2 cheeseburgers.
Yep.
2 bags of chips, the small ones, okay? Like little pocket size.
Halloween
size bags of chips, and they're Lay's original.
basically one shot, one handful straight in the mouth, done.
And two Fountain Pops, okay? Listen to that. Two burgers, two chips, two Fountain Pops. $55. $55. What is this, gourmet? You can't even, if you went out for
it's
dinner
insanity.
To 11, you know, a place right beside Scotiabank Arena, fancy, they have yep. good burgers there. You would not pay $55 for two burgers.
You could probably get a meal post-game for two or pre-game for two for under $55 if you're not drinking at like a good restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that one better than the popcorn because at least you have a chance of feeling satiated after.
Well, yeah, you'll be full. Like, these
least,
burgers look good
there's
in the
some
photo.
Substance.
They're
look probably
like,
not good, though. Like someone is whipping up a $55 combo in
a
matter of seconds.
And this is like, you know, you've seen the concession grills. Like, it's just that flat grill. They're like
the patties are probably just hanging out in a heater somewhere.
Yep.
And someone who's probably doesn't have a culinary arts background is throwing it together in short order. And it's $55.
The rest of them I'll just rip through them. One burger, one pop, $22. The signature beef sandwich.
Why does that seem like a better deal?
It does seem like a better deal. One beef sandwich and beer on draft, $30. That's actually not bad.
That's the best.
Chicken tenders, fries, and a draft beer, $30. And then listen to this. As somebody that champions hot dogs in this city, a hot dog and a draft beer.
Okay.
$20. So if you go to the Scotiabank Arena tonight and you want to get a beer, I think it's $11 or $12 on draft. So why is this hot dog $8 or $9? It shouldn't be. It's a hot dog.
I mean, unless it's like a foot long with a lot of...
It's not.
Substance
I've looked it up. It's a regular Schneider's loony dog.
Well, I mean, I understand your affection for loony dogs because at least you can feel good about that purchase. You can leave.
That's right.
You can
Man,
leave
loony
750
dog's got a bigger bump.
On the ground at Rogers Center and hit it over, even though you didn't need 50,000.
So on the other side of the province, or in you know in Calgary, the other side of the Battle of Alberta,
a little south,
the first 5,000 fans in attendance tonight get a free beer, a free draft beer. They're going to weigh 5,000 free draft beers.
I mean, it kind of says it all about that dynamic where it's, again, it's not this extreme, but if you look at the arenas, the situations mm-hmm. that the fans have, at least the fan experience, not talking about what's on the ice. You have one of the oldest barns that needs to be turned over. Mm-hmm. You have this luxury Rogers Place at Edmonton. One of them you're clearly paying for
That's right.
with your burgers. The other one, it's like, hey, just come into our old barn. Here's a beer. Enjoy the game. Which would you rather be in? Give me the old barn every day.
Give me the free beer in the old barn.
Give me the free beer in the old barn.
I've played in a lot of rinks in my life. I like the old barns better.
100%. I don't need to be in the arena realizing that with my food order, I am paying for this arena.
Multiple texts in that are hilarious here. You know all those commercials about Alberta, move to Alberta.
Yes.
Everyone's like, those are a lie, clearly.
Yeah.
This isn't helping
Depends
their cause.
Depends on where you are, I
guess. You honestly can't go anywhere in the city of Toronto without seeing an ad for Alberta. The subway has it. I think our station plays the commercials. Alberta is being pumped into your brain.
Yeah.
Let me unpump it. You don't want to go there.
Higher salaries, but higher burger prices. They don't give us that caveat.
Okay, quickly before I take a break. The update on the crazy fishing scandal, remember that?
Oh, I want to hear this.
The controversy in the pro fishing world as the winners were caught stuffing lead weights into their fish fillet into their fish, this massive scandal. Honestly, it shook the fishing world. The individuals are now facing criminal charges that actually might put them in jail. But mm-hmm. they deserve it. One count of cheating, a felony of the fifth degree. One count of attempted grand theft, A felony of the fifth degree. One count of possessing criminal tools. Felony of the fifth degree.
What
one,
criminal tools do
I don't
they
know.
Possess?
One count of unlawful ownership of wild animals. Misdemeanor of the fourth degree. They're really taking this extremely seriously. They did a full investigation for 2 weeks about the fillets and the weights found in the tournament-winning catch. They made off with almost $500,000 in the last couple of years, though, so... and $38,000 at this tournament. But justice, you know, I'd like to say that we were a part of this. They could go to 12 months in prison for cheating the fishing scandal.
I mean, if
scandal.
They scammed enough money, I guess that's appropriate. But, like, unlawful use of whatever seems extreme.
Hey, I'm sure there's somebody that studies law. Or Allison studies law. She listens to this show. There's probably police officers listening. Well, I think it's justified.
I wonder if there's
justice.
Like, I wonder if there's like a judge who's like connected to the fishing community that's yeah. going to take like
his side hobby is
this.
That he's a fish man.
Like, I think it all depends on like how involved this judge is in the fishing world. Because if it's just like, sorry, you're wasting my time with a fishing case, fishing drama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm supposed to be a legit, a standard of law here.
The law's a law.
But if that person respects fishing and the competition, fishing competitions, this might be like the O.J. Simpson thing where it's like, next time we get a chance to get you, we're going to get you.
It might spark real change in the fishing world. Scheduled to be in court on October 26th. So you bet. After that weekend, we'll be starting the show with the fishing scandal. Wow, it's actually a Wednesday. So Thursday the 27th.
Maybe we'll go live. We'll cut live to the verdict.
I love this. All right. Back to tough topics. Kyle Bukauskas after the break. He was there for the Leafs' opening night loss. Let's chat with him about the vibes and... can they bounce back tonight? I hope so. That's next on the Fan Wars Show. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.